Welcome, everyone, to another week of Anime Talk. I am Joe, I am your host, and we are back for some more exciting conversation and dialogue with not only my guests, but you guys as the viewers as well. Let's get started. Just a quick intro, I am Joe. I am a writer at We Remember Love. You can find me on Twitter. And if it makes it easier for me to find your questions, you can always tag them with Joe's Anime Talk on Twitter. And always, of course, send me a mention. That helps as well. But let's get to my first guest tonight. Fosh, why don't you go ahead?
Hey, what's up? Shizu here. Find me on Twitter, Ned Norn, Ryder, and Screen Cap, I guess Fanatic, you'd say.
Definitely, yeah. So, Fosh is great with screen caps, puts his own titles to it. It's a lot of fun. You guys should check it out. Next up, we have Aeroblip.
What's up, everybody? Aeroblip. I work on the Fatcast for Kivo's blog, Desert Coffee. You know, if I'm not in the fat cast, I'm this bitch, and I actually just finished a post just for him.
Next up, we have Numbers. Numbers is definitely, if you've ever paid attention to his Twitter feed, is a Pixiv fanatic. But go ahead, Numbers.
Thank you for that introduction, Joe. My name is Numbers. I write at Numbers on space.wordpress.com. It is currently 5 a.m., So, I do a lot of stuff for you, Jim.
I know, we drug him up from his nice, warm, comfortable bed on a summer morning to come talk with you guys, so...
Oh, my God.
Show him a lot of love. And we'll let him talk first here. So, I know Fosh and I have had this conversation before on anime music and soundtracks and stuff. Like, we're both big fans of the AO OST right now. There's a lot of great bits in there, but... Just in general, how important do you guys think that the music or soundtrack is to an anime? Is it something that makes or breaks a show? Is it a nice to have? What do you guys think? Numbers, why don't you start us off? How important do you think that music is?
Right. So, I think that music, well, at least to me, can really support a show on its own. And I really do think that, let's just say this. I watch the shittiest shows for the music, like really bad shows, because they have a lot of good music. You know, like Guilty Crown, stuff like that. And
that's a good point. Guilty Crown may have been a lackluster plot, but it was a beautiful show and did have some great music.
Right, right. And you know, the great thing about music and anime is that I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but if you watch, like, music from a movie or an anime, then it comes attached to memory, right? And that automatically makes it, more memorable, so to say.
Definitely, like, for example, like, I started this show today with a soundbite from Dirt. And when I hear that music, I can replay scenes in my head, I can imagine, you know what I mean? It brings up some memories, you know, music, so definitely, if the show's got a good soundtrack, you're going to remember things just based on that soundtrack. Aeroblip, what about you? Is there a, do you think music makes or breaks? Is it important to you? What do you think?
Except the only example I can think of where music can actually break a show is probably Clannad After Story, that ending song. But other than that, I actually really don't care about the music that much. I mean, it does help it a lot. For example, Bakemonogatari, the soundtrack to that, it's very repetitive, but it kind of goes with the show. But, you know, of course, that's not a soundtrack you would listen to outside the show. So,
well,
you
know, I do.
I mean, some of them are good, but Bakerorito, you know, the accordion's amazing. But, like, it's... Music does... I never really sit down and listen to the music afterwards, no matter how much I actually enjoy the music, but... You know, if it's there to enhance the actual show itself, by all means, like, I'll embrace it. But I don't think it's actually necessary. That's for me.
Fosh, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, for me, a good soundtrack is, like, something like a shonen series. I know, like, they all make these character songs. Like, Luffy from One Piece has his theme. Ichigo has his. And, of course, Fairy Tail, the characters have their individual soundtracks, I guess, for them. And I guess it helps the series for the action scenes. When the song kicks in, you know, it's one of them to get messed up. Oh, the bad guy or the main guy.
Oh, definitely. Like in Bleach, his his fighting music is definitely unique. You know it's him, you know it's Ichigo. It's definitely, you hear that set, that sound, you know he's coming to action.
And that guitar riff.
And also, you guys were mentioning things that break, like the ending to Clannad. Have you ever, you guys ever watched Black Heaven?
No, I haven't.
Music Save the Space. The ending to that show, completely, you just go, what the hell? It's like, it's a bunch of girls singing this cutesy little song, and you're like, that has nothing to do with the last 20 minutes of anime I just watched. Yeah. It's funny, it's noticeable, but it may not be noticeable in a good way, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say it. There's a lot of shows that, like, kind of crap shows, and usually the crap shows have the best soundtracks, like Guilty Pan, like Numbers were saying. Even something like, I like Horizon's OST, with all the techno music.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if the... I don't know if the crap shows have the best soundtracks, because if I think of good anime soundtracks, I think of, well, Aria first, of course. I think of F, A Tale of Memories.
Right.
And I think of, let's see. Well, I guess, no, I was going to say Idolmaster, but I'll refrain.
No, go on. Please, talk about Idolmaster.
No, Idolmaster has, doesn't have great music, but, you know, they have, of course, their character songs, and then there's the OP, and the second OP, which are amazing. So, yeah. And I think, well, yeah, the OP and the opening and the ending can definitely be included in the soundtrack.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. See, I guess whenever I go to a soundtrack, I try to listen to something that, you know, that can be played without the anime. So, like, a lot of Ghibli films, if you listen to their soundtracks, like, a lot of their orchestral stuff, it's nice, it's very enjoyable to listen to without actually having seen the movie itself. I don't think I've actually seen a Ghibli movie. But, but yeah, so like, I mean, whenever I go for a soundtrack, I usually go just to listen to the soundtrack. And for an anime, that's why I don't think it's necessarily, I don't think it's needed to actually have a good soundtrack. I mean, ambient noise is just enough for me.
No, that's definitely true. Like, a soundtrack needs to be functional, and if it's great, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
What do you think? But, well, yeah, for me, I'm like a music guy, so.
No.
It's one of the things I'm paying attention to.
If a show's gonna break between like being a 4 and a 5, you know, sorry, on a 5 scale, but that difference is for me is probably gonna be a soundtrack.
Really?
I think if I'm gonna choose between two really good shows and I'm cutting down to little bits and pieces, I think music's gonna be one of those things that'll end up teetering it one way or another.
I don't think I've ever thought of it like that, to be honest. But that's, I don't know, but I can see it in my eyes something new.
Yeah, I'd say, like, for example, playing I was trying to find that sound bite to open up tonight's show, playing that, working my way through the Durara OST, I'm like, oh, I remember that scene when they played that. It just kind of, that's when I know that I really enjoyed a show, is when the music can trigger a memory for me. I think that's how I know. I think, like I said, it helps trigger something for me. I don't know. Everybody's a little different, but I'm a music guy. My kids kind of pick up on that, too. My daughter can memorize a song on the radio after about 3 times, which is good and bad because she's singing things that I don't think a 4-year-old should be singing, but we'll sidestep that for another time. But, yeah. Anyways, moving on, guys. Good opening topic. Anyways, this season, we are seeing some shows that are definitely throwing the humor out there, you know, stuff that's reminiscent of like Arakawa and Level E from past seasons. But how well do you think that Japanese humor and satire translates to Western audiences? I mean, is it translating well? Do you really have to have a strong cultural knowledge to make it work? What do you think, Aeroblip?
Let's see. To be honest, I think it depends on what you consider Japanese humor. How do I put this? There's a lot of comedies out there that are very slapstick, and so take the classic example of like throwing a pie to a face. You know, you can consider it Japanese if you throw, I don't know, omelet and rice at someone's face. That can be funny. But to be honest, like, it has to come down to the actual presentation itself. Yes, there are times where, let's say for a classic example, Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei, there's a lot of references to the actual Japanese culture, And even though I'm not necessarily Japanese, and it's been over a decade since I've been to Japan, those jokes, you can still pick up on them, and you can still understand the satire without necessarily understanding the full context. So, to be honest, it kind of depends on, like, exactly what you consider Japanese humor and what the show you're referring to.
Okay, for example, the show, I watched one last night, I'm a little behind. It's with the five girls all color-coded.
Oh, Joshi Rocket?
Yes. Sorry, I couldn't remember the name. Literally, I about fell asleep. I got bits and pieces, but because there was some definite culturally, or some jokes that probably only made sense to somebody living within that culture, just lost me. And after a while, I just kind of gave up and went on to doing something else. Now, granted, it looked like they were doing things with wordplay that probably that are hilarious in Japanese, but in English makes no sense, you know?
Do you pick up on the wordplay? Just curious.
I recognize the consonant, the repetitive consonant and vowel sounds. How about that?
Okay.
Like, I know they're making onomatopoeias or something. There's something there where there's something going on, but I know they're saying something, but when it translates out, when Gigi translates it, it doesn't quite come across right.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
Like, I translate stuff sometimes. And when I have to translate, like, a really Japanese joke or something, I'm like, oh my god, I don't want to do this anymore. But yeah, it's like, you know, translating, sometimes you have these language jokes or sometimes you have these cultural jokes. But, you know, of course, language and culture are intertwined, as always. And that sometimes even makes it impossible to translate. And then, yeah, it becomes hard for a translator.
There's a good point by one of our viewers here that the humor isn't necessarily Japanese, but the context is, like how the humor is relayed within the context of the show. The references around the joke. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that does.
I don't know, Fosh, are you blogging any of the comedies this season?
So far, Yuri, blogging that. Bimbo Gum, maybe have something come out for that, which to me, you know, Gintama-ish to me. I always go back to that for, like, straight-up comedy series. And even, like, in last season, Hiro Yaku's on the same way. All the references, the anime references, and some jokes that I didn't understand either, but, yeah.
I see. So what about something like Bimbo Gamiga? Like, that's a combination of both Japanese humor and slapstick and situational humor. So, like, does that still interest you in a sense, or...?
Yeah. I like stuff like that. It's, you know, very easy to get into for me. But then again, I always like comedy for anime. I usually end up blogging that more than anything.
Okay.
And the references, you know, help. Like they had Dragon Ball Z in the first episode. You know, in comedy. It was pretty funny. And Gundam references here and there from other shows. And stuff like that. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
So did you guys watch a lot of all of the Arakawa seasons and Level E as well?
I watched Arakawa, not Level E.
I've seen both, so.
I didn't watch Level E, and I dropped Arakawa.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm terrible. I know.
I think it's like random comedy, you know, when something totally different is happening off screen. You're like, that doesn't even make sense, but for me, I just laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those shows definitely have different kind of humor. With Arakawa, there was a lot of random humor. Everything was in these little 30-second, 40-second sound bites, you know?
Yeah.
Or not that short, but you know what I mean. The show was broken up constantly between these different bites of scenes.
Uh-huh.
And I found it a little easier to follow because it had a little mixture of slapstick, stuff like that. But there was definitely some references there that, you know, for me, just went over my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for most of us, you have to find a character you like and you like laughing at or making fun of, and then you just watch it.
Yeah.
Like for me, for that show, the little girl changes into this. She gets angry and she transforms into like this muscle-bound wrestling person. That was pretty funny for Arakawa. I was like, I don't know what's going on, but it's great.
Another comment from one of our viewers. You know, when a show has so many translation notes as subs, it's probably not a good fit. If you have to explain every joke as you go, you're right. It just probably isn't going to make a lot of sense. Which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm good
with
that. I'll stick to what I do understand, which is blood, guts, and fighting. And That's pretty simple to understand. You
that's
know?
International.
That's international,
yeah,
man.
Someone getting cut
somebody getting cut in half is death, no matter what culture you're in. But anyway.
See, I think the important thing to remember is the actual like demographic for a show. I notice sometimes when I go on forums or even on like websites like MyAnimeList, people always like give shows bad ratings just because they don't understand the jokes. But, we all must consider that, you know, maybe the jokes aren't directed towards us, or even the show itself isn't directed towards us. So, while something might get translated, like Joshiraku, like, it's just simply not for us. Like, you know, the Japanese make anime for themselves, and if they decide to make it specifically for a certain demographic, kind of like those otaku shows, like, I'm okay with it. Like, we do the same thing in the U.S. Like, How I Met Your Mother, like, no one, I feel like no one like outside the United States understands the bro culture, but you know that's their target audience. And by all means, if you understand it, it's funny. So just be careful of that, I guess, when you start thinking about these shows.
Oh yeah,
thank you.
Oh, the good deal, guys. Well, hopefully there will be a show. We'll see what I can keep up with this season. See what I maybe it's a good way to learn some of these cultural things by joking about it. You know what I mean? For those of us that aren't native or haven't visited, it may be a good way to get some insight into some of the satire and comedy, which, you know, comedy is a good way to learn, well, or a bad way to learn about another culture.
or like dude, take a show that's serious and make comedy out of it, like Guilty Crown.
Yeah.
But after doing that, I was just like, I'm just going to do whatever I want with this show. If comedy, just do that.
Yeah.
So that's always fun to do. anyway.
So moving on, guys. So this is the big question for the night, and we'll take most of our time going this way. On We Remember Love, this one probably was late winter, early spring. Ghost posted a great post about if he could create an anime, what would he create? And it was a great post. There was lots of comments, and I thought it was very interesting to see what anime people would create. So I'm going to pose the question to you guys tonight as well. If you guys were going to create an anime, assuming that any studio was at your disposal, any director and any voice actress or actor was at your disposal, what anime would you create? Maybe what studio would you pull from? Things like that. Who's that guy? Oh, Ira, why don't you start with us on this one?
Who?
Arrow or Fosh, one of you guys. Why don't you guys take this one if you guys...
Fosh, your turn.
Fosh, you want to take
all
this
right,
one?
Sure.
All right.
Right.
If you were going to create a show, what would be that show?
Oh, for me, it would be a net comedy adventure series by Sunrise or JC Staff. I'm a bit of a fanboy of them. Yeah, 26 episodes if they get a budget for it. character designs, I would use like Niche Joe character designs because I like the way they look. But maybe like Yuri Yuri, those kind of designs. music, probably like the guy to the Fairy Tale Pretty Cure series because I have like all those soundtracks for that. The voices, I might butcher these names, but have... I'm just going to say the character names. Yeah, Squid Girl, that voice actress. Yeah, I like her stuff. The girl that did Saturn from Railgun, or Santa from Hag and I. Maybe Takato from Star Driver. And Gintoki from Gintama would be in there. And then villain, I have Nakado Joji as like a random villain. He would just show up and just cause havoc and run away. But yeah, mech design, I don't know what I would go for. There's so many. Maybe more Sunrise Gundam style designs, like Gundam Age. They're pretty good looking.
Yeah, they actually did a good job with that series on their character designs and Gundam designs.
Yeah, or Star Driver, because the mechs are just straight up weird looking. It would probably fit a comedy better than anything. I could just see them combining, like all these robots combined in one, like super robot.
Pull a Transformers with the Constructicon, or the construction bots, yeah. Numbers, what about you? If you could create a, or here, let's look at some of Fosh's choices. So Sunrise, you like just because as a studio, take some of that Gundam experience and throw it in.
Yep, definitely.
And you were mentioning comedy. You obviously like comedy. You just mentioned that a few minutes ago. That blogging comedies is kind of your thing. You enjoy the comedy stuff. Yep. But the character designs being more Nichijo, you like more of that. More moeified rather than, I guess what's the right word for it, more less direct relational to human forms and more of that I hate to say moe blob, but that's kind of that kind of side of the spectrum.
Yeah, for me, since I like to draw a lot, I always find designs for characters to be a drawing point of why I like a certain show. Like, Hitcha, I fell in love with that because of the character designs. They look, you know, very easy to draw, but they're not, like you said, they're more modified than anything. Same with Yuri character designs. Because we have Sword Art Online, which is those character designs are from Working, which I wouldn't think would fit an action series, but it's pretty cool so far.
Yeah. I haven't seen Working, so I don't know what you mean, but the characters are definitely less, they're kind of that midway between Moified and Cowboy Bebop. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're on the middle part of that spectrum there. Numbers, what about you? If you could create something, what would you create?
Oh, boy. It's like Christmas. Let's see. I would probably... Well, I'm a Big Chef fanboy.
So yeah!
Yeah. So as a director, I would probably take both Akio Kishimbo and Shin Onuma, because, well, they're awesome. And they directed some of my favorite shows. But I would like to take, Johto Animation as the animation studio, because why not? I mean, they're pretty good at it. And other than that, let's see.
Any particular voice actors or actresses you would or wouldn't want?
Let's see. I'll take Anna Sawakana as the main female, and I'll take, well, maybe Kanazawa Hana as the main male, and then we'll have... I'm getting kind of tired of that. Like, I don't know a lot of voice actors' names, but... Let's see. Oh, Wakamoto, of course. He has to make, like, a cameo appearance as, I don't know, wooden cubes or something like that.
Random object?
No, definitely wooden cubes.
Yes.
No, wait. I know. I'll get Chrissy Bear to do the wooden cubes. That'll be great. Yeah, I hope he's listening, but... Yeah.
So what would the plot of your anime be?
Probably... Alright, it will start out like a slice of life, and then it will slowly turn into a drama, and then at the end everyone dies.
The tragic ending. Oh, that's funny.
I was laughing at Hanazawa Kana playing a male character. That'd be hilarious. Like a butchy male, like this loves to fight Gar character. That'd be fun.
You got me stuck on the whole thing. Everybody dies, because that's kind of counterintuitive to a lot of anime shows. Well, other than Muv Love, where they wiped out the entire everybody they introduced is dead now. But except for one person. But, you know, that brings up a good point. In a lot of anime, there's a core central cast of characters that just doesn't die. You can stab a sword through them, and two episodes later, it's like they were never touched.
Yeah, I like shows where people die. Like, I don't mean, like, bloody or something like that, but I like it when there's a real character death that has a real impact.
You should have a series where all the characters die in a few episodes, and you bring in a whole new cast of people. They die.
You mean Guy Ranger?
Yeah, that.
God is.
That was
cool. I actually only watched the first episode of that.
So that's all you need to watch.
But that's all I need to watch.
It's not bad.
You attach to the characters like, this one's cool, that one, aw. Never mind.
More like Foo and you're
dead.
But that's a good point. There isn't a lot of, and I'm going to harp on this subject for a little longer, there isn't a lot of tragic ending. I think that's my one of my biggest, if I have a pet peeve with anime as a genre of media, I don't think there's enough shows that have a good tragic ending.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying, yeah. Jimmy Kiss Pure Rogue was actually one of those. Well, no, actually, that had a sad ending. That was a bad ending right there. Going back to last season, Tasogare Amnesia, like, it's funny, because that last episode was, like, entirely about the breakup. Oh, I'm spoiling it. Who else? Like, it was entirely about the breakup, and I thought it was going to end with that, so it's going to be kind of like a bittersweet ending. But then, literally at the last second, they decided to bring back, like, the main girl, so it's like, oh, yeah, she's not really gone. So...
Yeah.
I was actually really pissed at that ending.
It sounds like my Hime.
I was mostly pissed because it wasn't my ship.
Here's a great comment. If they make the Otaku's depressed, the suicide rate will go up. Oh, that's rough. Alright. Aeroblitz, it's your turn on the pedestal.
Yes! Alright. So, first of all, my anime would be an Ace Combat anime. So, not Macross. No, I want actual jet fighters, alright? I don't want to see these robots. And the thing is that they have to make sure they stay true to the old Ace Combat roots, so it's got to be like the Strange World types, where it's like it's sort of reflective of our current world today, except for maybe, you know, a little bit to freedom, like maybe like certain technological advances. But that way we don't have to hear about USA versus Russia, but at the same time it's still grounded to something that we can relate to. So because it's Ace Combat and it's Namco, I expect A1 Pictures to do it. I mean, obviously, Biomaster, you saw how much money they made off of that, so, like, why not go with them again? And to be honest, their animation is quite fluid. Like, I think they're one of the best in the industry. So, like, there's my studio right there. As far as the director, I would go with Shuichiro Watanabe, so the director of Cowboy Bebop, because I feel like he can actually do character dramas and action at the same time, which is exactly what I want from this anime. So, like, if they're going to tell a story, I want it to be deep. So it's like, yes, you have soldiers or civilians or whatever, and it is a wartime setting. But at the same time, I don't want it to be about the conflicts. I don't want to hear about, like, race A versus race B or something like that. I want to hear about I want to see the emotions on these characters. And I have confidence that he could actually do it. The music, here's kind of a twist. I would do Shoji Meguro. So he does the music for Persona 4, Persona 3. And it's kind of interesting because he can do like a jazz instrumental, hip-hop, rap. He does a hodgepodge of like all of these different genres. And I feel like if you give him enough time, he can do moving pieces, like very moving pieces. One example is Poems for Everyone's Soul. So it's a very slow orchestral piece. But at the same time, he can do very like engaging ones, such as Specialist from Persona 4. So he can do both. As far as the main cast go, I would assume that it's going to be a squadron or maybe a small group, so four main characters, the one protagonist, and then maybe a bunch of other side characters, all of them, of course, pilots. And so the main person would have to be Mamoru Miyano. So he does the voice of Pacto from Star Driver, basically Okabe from Steins Gate. So I feel like he can actually, if he wants to, he can actually drop this, like, the silliness in his voice and be very serious at times, which I expect him to be. And then as far as the main female lead, it would have to be Miyuki Sawashiro. So she does Serika-san from, what is it called? Oh, Space Bros. Kanbaru from Bakemonogatari. She has a nice range. Like, I really like that range. She can do cutesy, serious, she can go all over the place. And that voice is pure sex, by the way. So that's essentially, like, just have that there, like, bring in the Namco Bandai budget, and then all that fan service, that Ace Combat fan service, like, it's gold. Like, come on, my name implies it. I love airplanes, right? So, of course, I want to see a studio, I want to see, like, an F-16 go against, you know, say, or something like that, or a Eurofighter, a Typhoon. I want to see these epic battles, and I feel like A1 Pictures can do it. Like, the animation is top-notch. And, you know, if you bring the right director, then you can just maintain it so it's a perfect mix of action and drama. And also, Idolmaster Blames, the OVA is the soul. There you go. You know, you got that 15 flying around with, like, Chihaya on it. Just even in the background, I'd be fucking satisfied. And screw you, Kibo. He's not a bad composer.
Well, Kibo wants to make an all Moe blob, so you have these little girls fighting. Yeah, you're going to have, what was that gun show from last season? Apote. You're going to have an Apote version of Ace Combat. instead of having a loose spring in the stomach, you're going to have a broken turban or something.
Oh dude, all my money.
Oh,
no. You guys are killing me right now. Absolutely killing me. So definitely, I know.
The landing gear won't go down.
Oh no! I know what voice actress I would never want to do an anime of mine. She played the other waitress. Okay, so on Space Pirates, Bodacious Space Pirates. The main character and then her friend that worked with her at the...
The maid.
Oh,
like the really, really nasally.
Oh, my gosh. If there's any voice actress I would never have, it would be her. Like, something about her voice was like nails on a chalkboard for me.
Lock up the Soul Eater.
Couldn't do it.
Wasn't there this voice actor a while ago that had, like, this really high, squeaky voice, and she was in, like, a lot of anime a while ago?
Rei Kugamiya?
No. Kugirie, like, she has different voices, too, you know, like, an L from Fullmetal Alchemist. But, like, she only had this squeaky voice. It was, like, her specialty.
Hmm. Can you give me a character?
No, because she, like, played in generic movie shows.
I'm sure we could ask Kevo. He could find out for us. He's into that movie stuff.
Actually, you know, now that I think about it, I would probably, like, for my anime, I would probably take the entire, like, female voice cast from Bakemonogatari.
Because
they are all really good actors and actresses. Like, even Araragi, like, he himself is pretty hilarious to listen to. But at the same time, like, he can be serious.
And he's in Gundam Age. I'm singing better.
When Chiwa Saito, like, I've known her before, and I followed her around a bit. But when she did that Senju Gaara voice, and it was the first time I heard her like that, because her other roles are like, Subaru from Nanoha, and the other ones don't pop up that quickly, but I was really surprised that her Senju Gaara voice was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
She used to do, like, I believe she used to do, like, lolis and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, and there's gotta be one scene where Chiwa Saito has to cry. Because, come on, Madoka, like, you heard Homu crying all the time. C-Cubed, for any of you guys who've actually seen it, none of you out there, when she cries in her scene, like, because she's, like, the long blue-haired chick, when she does those cries, oh my god, it brings tears to my eyes.
Is it good or bad?
Oh, no, it's, her cry scenes are, like, very emotional. I love it.
Because I don't actually like, the Japanese voice actors crying is like, what? It doesn't feel right to me.
Hana ending episode.
Episode?
Everyone cries in the theme episode. I think we stole Joe's question now.
What's that now?
I think we stole your question to build your own anime.
No, you guys are fine. This is great. It's good to hear some talk. See, for me, you know, I'm a big Bones fan. I like the build-ups where there's little bits and pieces and they feed you things and then at the end it's like, bam, it's like, holy crap. You
know? Yeah.
And then, who did Dura again? And Bakano?
Brain Space.
Yeah. I like the way they ran, you know, Dura. I like that. I don't know if you guys ever watched Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels or, Snatch or movies like that.
Yes.
How there are these different plot streams that are going on. And they're all mildly interconnected, and then at the very end, like, it all comes slamming together. And it's that big finale where all the characters go, holy crap, that was you? You know, and there's this big circle pointing going on. I really enjoy that kind of stuff as well, so.
Yeah. Has there been any anime recently that followed that approach?
If there was and I missed it, you can shoot me because I would. I'm always searching for something.
Oh yeah,
like
I would
that.
Get that up too.
But Singer.
Right. So that definitely those two studios would be high on my list if I was going to go somewhere. As for a director, I think it kind of goes with the same thing. Those guys, the person who did Cowboy Bebop.
Watanabe.
Yeah, definitely would choose something like him. Where. There's definitely, like you said, with Cowboy Bebop, you've got that mix of action. There's some slow-paced where there's a build-up. You have to have some drama in there with some good dialogue and some good scene, you know, some good visuals to kind of build it up. Like, I can't remember which episode it is in Cowboy Bebop. It's the one where there's that stuff in the fridge. Like, I don't remember. It's in the first 12. I can't remember. But that was a great episode where everybody starts getting sick all because of that stuff that grew in the fridge, that space lobster.
Oh, yeah.
You know? That's a great episode. It's funny. It's hilarious. The music was wonderful, especially when the ending scene.
The mushroom episode. That was good, too.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I need to rewatch. I really need to rewatch Cowboy Bebop because when I first watched it, I wasn't a jazz fan, but then I discovered jazz, and so I really need to watch it again.
And as a plug for my own blog, Ghost did a great write-up on all the episodes of Cowboy Bebop. It's interesting if you want to read it. But yeah. I'm trying to think voice actors and actresses. Definitely the lead voice actress from MGX. Got to have her. It's not.
Yeah, she needs more money.
She needs more money. She needs more shows.
Who is she?
I can't remember her name. I apologize. She does. She's an actress in general, and they brought her in to do VA for this. She did one other show too. I thought as well. Maybe not.
No, I thought. Well, MGX is her only anime.
Okay. But it was great. Her voice was a little deeper. It sounds more mature. It's a great voice. I would definitely bring her in. As for the rest of the cast, as long as it's not squeaky, I'm good. You know, I'm gonna throw that right back out there to everybody who thinks I'm a Moe hater. But yeah, squeaky voice. I don't know if it's just because I watch anime at the end of the day. It just kind of rubs on me. I don't know. But yeah,
I can understand you. Like, I've quit anime before just because of Rei Kazumiya.
You don't like life.
Simply because of her.
That's all.
Yeah. And so for the type of show, I think my show would have probably a high school setting because there's just, with kids, you can do all kinds of stuff, man. There's a little less maturity with kids, so you can mess with their heads, you can do lots of stuff, and it's more believable. Does that make sense? You can have these stupid things, and it's like, yep, a high schooler would do that. You know?
Like, is it still going to be like a mystery kind of genre type thing? Or?
For me, I don't know mystery so much as there has to be some sort of build-up to some sort of revelation or... I don't know.
Have that style that Snatch we were talking about, right?
Yes. Where either the plots are disconnected or everybody's engaged in the same plot, like it kind of is in AO, but you're getting these tidbits here and there about, oh my gosh, what the heck's going on, you know?
Yeah. No, I was just kind of curious, like, would you go for, like, is it like a serious thing, is it horror, or is it just straight up comedy? Like,
I would go something a little more on the serious side, probably with some sort of action or fighting. I've always thought
with love triangles, right?
No love triangles. I think harem love triangles are. I think that's being phased out. I'm not a huge for me. Harem is not a big thing. But for example, I think if you redid X-Men, but with more starting with a Japanese base, does that make sense? Rather than trying to import an American comic into Japan, take the general premise that kids have mutation. Or maybe scale it down to where only limited amounts of people can get the mutation and go from there. And then start with and throw that into a more traditional anime setting. I don't know what they would fight against. I'm just throwing things out here, but yeah.
They could fight each other. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
It sounds a little bit like Index to me. They're in that part of the school versus school type thing.
Yeah, but maybe scale it down even further where maybe the amount of people that can have these talents are very limited. Like maybe there's only 10 people in the world, or 20, or 30, or whatever. You know what I mean? Index was Index had magic. You had science. And
I mean, everyone in the city. Yeah.
Everybody who was born in the last 20 years had something.
Well, I mean, with Railgun, you have people that are like level 5s and level 0s, or people with no power at all. So you do that too.
Yeah.
A ranking system.
Yeah, Chris makes a good point. Tiger and Bunny is a good example. Except that's more of a satire, it's more of a reflection on just traditional American superhero cartoons, like the Justice League or the Avengers. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that, let me see, Tiger and Bunny I thought was a great job of making, this. I don't know if it's supposed to be satire or what, but it did a great job of taking an American concept like the Justice League and making it into formatting it for Japanese audiences, things that make sense for that anime viewing audience. Where when they try to directly translate something like X-Men or Wolverine or Blade or Iron Man, it did not translate well.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because the directing was bad.
CGI.
Yeah, just lots of things just did not.
Madhouse had no money.
That's all I'm told.
That was probably...
We're still working on Red Line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably a good point. So let's go to some questions from our guests here in the field. So first question is, if there is, I had it just here, so let me find it again. Is there anything about a show that would make you automatically stop watching? Like, after the first episode, you just say, nope, I'm done, I'm moving on.
For me, I end up usually watching the whole series, but for me, what kills a series if a character dies early in the series, and then, you know, 4 or 5 episodes later, they're back, and they're running around doing something, they're like, okay, what'd they do that for? Like, and Guilty Crown had something similar like that, which made everyone kind of like, what the hell, you know? Why would you do that?
Yeah. You know, for me, I guess, as long as the show's entertaining, I'll watch it. Like, I'm not going to lie, I've probably seen about, 15 of these summer shows. I plan on continuing it until they stop interesting me. So, if the first episode doesn't grab me, it's not necessarily because it's bad, or it's just, I don't care. Like, I'm watching a bunch of shit right now. Like what's that, Dakara H something? Yeah. Like, that show is terrible, but I'm still watching it just because it entertains me. So,
yeah, I agree. Like, first episodes, I don't usually drop at first episode. I usually drop at episode, like, 3 or 4. And I don't really have, like, one thing that makes me drop it. It's like,
same with me. Episode 3, if I'm not still entertained by it, I'm dropping it.
Yeah. Or I just don't have enough time. That works, too.
Right. Eventually, you watch everything, and your list goes from like 15 shows to like 5 or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And see, for me, like I said, that Joshiraku, is that the right way? Is that the right one?
Joshiraku.
Yeah.
It just, for me, I can't get into the humor. So I've watched one episode, said, "Yep, if I understood the humor, I'd probably keep watching," but it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. So like,
it's not entertaining, essentially.
Yeah.
So like, Sayonara Setsubou Sensei.
I watched a few episodes of that. I read some of the manga.
Yeah, it's just the same author.
So. Yeah, it just started. After a while, I just kind of petered off. I think I watched enough to get the idea, and I felt like it started to get repetitive.
It's definitely repetitive.
Yeah, so I figured after I watched 3 episodes and read 2 volumes of the manga, I think I'd pretty much seen everything they had to offer.
Yeah. Not to mention,
for me,
Shindo
it also
can
back,
do so
comes
much.
Back down to... You find a character like watching, like knowing what they're doing, stuff like that.
Yeah.
For me, I find all these characters I like, but certain characters I don't like. Certain series.
Yeah. So, do you guys have a favorite character in a show you otherwise didn't like?
Wait, what?
So the question is, the question is, who is your favorite character in a series you otherwise didn't like?
Oh wow. And again, so, like, I don't like a character, but it's my favorite?
No, you don't like a show, but there's a character in that show you really enjoyed.
Okay. That's a tough one.
Ooh.
Well, I can answer one. For me, it'd be, Guilty Crown again, which, you know, Shu started out as a crap character, but at the end, you start to like him, and you're like, okay, you get what he's trying to do, but I guess at the point, you're kind of tired of him, too, at the same time, for me, anyway. He was just whining all the time.
Yeah. I thought whining's entertaining.
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't know. I don't think I've ever gotten to the point where a show has been so bad that I've been able to hang on just because of that one character. Because I feel like if the characters don't interest me, then I'll probably just drop the show. So,
or maybe for me another one would be Index. From Index, she's very annoying. She doesn't do anything. She just sits there and is pretty much annoying.
Cries.
Yeah. Wants food. Bites the main guy like over and over again.
Cock blocks. I can.
Yeah, that's true. Right. I guess that's like the best example I have. It's Railgun. And I really like the characters, but this show is so bad. Did you guys watch that?
Yeah, wait. Let me guess. Your favorite is
Satin. That's one of my favorites.
That's a good guess. It's like top 2.
I like Satin. I think Gato, I don't like Kirito, though. She gets annoying after a while.
I like her. She's
yeah,
voice boilerizing.
I think Chris makes a good point. Coco from from Jormungand. I think she's a hilarious character to watch, even though the show is kind of, it's okay. But yeah, she's but a fun character to watch.
For me, Jormungand is like, it's so ridiculous. I'm just enjoying it.
Yeah, same here.
Just enjoy the ride. It's like a B-movie.
Yeah, definitely. And the other guests, well, they're kind of boring, I guess.
Yeah, they're just kind of the background character.
But they're not annoying, so
right.
That's something.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could be the main kids in that series, too, because she's always like, don't do this, but he does it anyway. You're like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Always.
So, last question of the night, guys. We've kind of talked about it already, where we've watched some shows that have some manga, or shows that have been adapted from manga. So can you watch an anime after you've read the manga or its light novel? Like, say for example, you watch the anime, then you go read the manga. Would you go back to watch the anime or vice versa? You've read the manga. Do you go to watch the anime to see what it's like? Do you kind of keep those two worlds separate?
I'll take one. It depends. So, like, I haven't read much manga just because, you know, I've gotten back into anime recently. And so, I have two examples. First one is The World God Only Knows. I saw the first season. I actually enjoyed it, went and read all 170-something or 60-something at the time chapters. Then I watched the second season, was still pleased, and I then continued manga. So that's something that I kept going with that one. Sanka Ray, on the other hand, I heard good things about it, so I actually started reading it. I don't know how far I got, but I know I passed the anime. But when I actually started watching the anime, I didn't really like it that much, to the point where I kind of wanted to drop it, except everyone kept talking about it. So I felt like in order to stay in the loop, I had to keep watching. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So, like, it goes both ways for me. Like, you know, The World God Only Knows, thumbs up. Manga and anime, I'm pleased. Sankareya, I didn't like either, so I don't know. Like, it's hard to say.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well,
go ahead.
Oh, hey, sir. Okay, so for me, like, anime is like my commercial, I guess. The marketing department is working on me. And usually, if there's an anime, I will almost always check out the source, like if it's a light novel or a manga. And I like to compare, like, the source and the adaptation. Because I think that some studios do it better than others, like Kyoto Animation, and, well, Your Mouth may vary, but Shaft. And I really like, you know, comparing and seeing what the adaptation does better.
I see. Yeah. I don't know. If I like the anime, I tend to actually avoid the source, hoping that, you know, there'll be a second season. One big example is actually the Monogatari series by Shaft. So, you know, I love Bakke Monogatari. I love Mise Monogatari. But I don't want to read Kizu until I've actually seen the movie. I don't know. That's kind of just how I am. Like, I don't want to be spoiled, in a sense.
Yeah.
I think Kizu will work better in a movie, actually.
Oh, really?
But okay. That's just my opinion, then.
Well, all the better not to read it, then.
Yeah, they can still fuck it up.
Yeah, I think I'm the opposite. Now, for me, I read a lot of the shonen, the big three, whatever. And the current arcs are on now. It's like, I want them to get to that in the anime series, but the anime series currently is in filler mode, so it's like, I kind of spoil myself a little bit if I know what's going to happen. So it kind of makes me not look forward to the actual anime. So I don't know, that's how it goes for me. Or then you get the side case where it's like a crap show, and you read the manga, and the manga's like 10 times better. Like, for me, Yumeka Mary was a crappy series, but the manga's like, you know, 10 times better to me.
Well, that is.
I guess that works for them, yeah.
Alright, guys, well, that is it for tonight. Is there any final thoughts you have before we close up?
Or plugs appropriate?
Whatever you want to plug, you get your 10 seconds.
Alright, you guys go first then.
Numbers, why don't you start?
Oh, okay. Follow me at. It's pretty difficult. Okay, whatever. Don't follow me. But you can read my blog at numbersandspace.wordpress.com. I don't write a lot, but maybe you'll like it. I'll also be appearing on another podcast, but I don't know when it'll release. But it'll be somewhere next week, I believe. It's on the it's on your podcast, I believe, Arrow Blade.
Oh, yes!
Yes. Maybe we can talk about Shift.
Oh, you bring it up, then I'll talk about it for days.
Fosh, what about you? So, yeah. Final? Oh, sorry, numbers, go ahead.
Oh, no, no, no. I just want to say thanks for all the people who think my voice is sexy. Because a lot of people are saying it.
You get the opposite. They're like, oh, you sound so cute.
I know. I saw Vuk make a comment. You know you're in trouble if Vuk's chasing you.
Yeah.
All right, Fosh, final thoughts.
Well, for me, Kill Guy would probably kill him if I didn't say anything about it. But thanks for all the support for the Anime Block tournament. I mean, everybody knows we won, so it's really exciting. Yeah. Of course, now that's over with, you know, drama's done now. So, yeah, just thanks for the support on that, and thanks for Joe for inviting me on here.
As always, Fosh, yep. You're welcome. And Aeroblip, final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Follow me on Twitter. Also, I just finished my new post, Mysterious Girlfriend X editorial. You can catch that on Desu Ex Machina, Kivo's blog, and I'm his bitch. Also, I'm the executive producer of the Friday Anime Podcast. So if you would ever like join, please hit me up, and I will get you on the show. Next week, we'll be having Numbers and Joe. So,
oh, that's right. I'm on there as well.
Oh, you're on there.
I forgot that's next week. I got to make sure I don't forget. But yeah, definitely. So thank you again, everybody who watched tonight. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully you'll all return next week as we have more exciting guests. As always, you can find these episodes at joanime.wordpress.com, which brings me to a point. A post went up tonight. If you guys would like to recommend next week's opening song and get credit, go ahead and comment on the post tonight. We'll do a quick vote this weekend, and we'll start the episode next week with that. If you're into podcast feeds, you can listen to this and other episodes via the link shown there. And if you're interested for being on, like my three fine guests tonight, you can email me at gmail.com. Again, thanks, guys, and hopefully tonight was as much fun for you as it was for me.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's again.
All right, good night, guys.
Night.
Night.
Night. Oh, he coming out.